Time for Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing over 40 years of experience to those subjects and others. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you and that sweet Jill as well.
Now, so did you stay up and watch the Yankees last night?
Not quite. Not quite.
It was safe to go to bed around 10.
You know, you have those days where the day never ends, but there's something else to do.
Yes.
That was it last night. So how did we do anyhow, to be honest with you?
We won.
Seriously won. Yeah. Eight to...
Okay. Now, as you know, the three of us were responsible for that because I do recall sending you an email and at the end correcting something I had said. And at the end I said, let go Yanks. So I hadn't said that in the second game. So that's the problem. I think we could be going there. Go ahead.
No. It was a score question. So go continue. This is not.
No. That was it. That was only it. I was delinquent and not watching, but the spirit was there, and that's the key.
All right. Well, we're feeling good because you know the Giants won their first game unexpectedly. Oh. The Jets got robbed, and the Yankees are still continuing their season.
And life, you know, life as in sport goes on.
Amen. Wasn't that wonderful, that Giant game? Wow.
I didn't stay up to watch it, but it was wonderful that they won.
No, that one I watched completely. My goodness. Manning, and it was the new man who's calling the offense. The coach basically said, okay, he turned over the calling of the offense. I can't remember the young person's name. He's very nice. Good-looking, smart, they changed it up, and that was it. And Manning had himself in control. Those short slant passes. It was such a pleasure to see. You kind of, in a way, forgot the season, which has not exactly been something you'd want to remember anyway.
No. Okay. So let's move on here. Where would you like to journey to this morning, Mr. Lynch?
I tell you. I'm really in the mood to be on the beach, a quiet beach.
Where?
Oh, me. The sun is really shining here in New York. I hope it is there as well. I am so happy. Marshall is really in good fettle this morning. And I'd like to just say we all have to try and do what it takes to keep ourselves up, present. And I don't think I'm just speaking for myself. We don't need to enumerate all the things that are very, very difficult at this time. But you need to get into some kind of little routine, a little procedure, something symbolic, to help you rise above things and keep you above things as much as possible. Focusing on your kids always helps, but I only heard a part of it the other day, but I am familiar, as I think many people are, with meditation. And this man was talking about how it has helped him, you know, just kind of rise above things, even for a while. When he leaves his meditation, whatever it is, he comes back and he's refreshed, and he's a bit stronger in terms of dealing with whatever he has to deal with. And
yes,
this man is not talking about our current problems.
Meditation and yoga, it's official, have now come out, have become mainstream. That only took how many years?
Okay, well said. And I'm not a yoga expert, so please don't go on what I say. I've done a little bit of yoga. I've done a little bit of Tai Chi as well.
But you know, Jim, the interesting thing about what you're saying is, and I was thinking about this, when I was a kid, and at times were different, there's no doubt about it, our family actually sat around a table for dinner. We actually talked about topics, about things that were going on. Didn't matter whether you were 5 or whether you were 65 or 70, you were always included in the conversation.
You talked.
The problems that we had to deal with were significant. I mean, my Uncle Glenn was a Marine. He had been guarding the presidential helicopter. He was on a boat ready to go into Cuba, ready to invade. We had the nuclear crisis at that time where anything could have gone on. We at school used to practice the inevitable task of getting under our desks and being incinerated under our desks instead
of sitting up
at the desk,
which really always seemed a little ridiculous.
But we had all these pressures on us back then. But we had one thing back then that you don't have now, and I just explained it, and that is sitting around a table at dinner at night.
You had communication with your
mother, your father, maybe your grandparents and stuff.
Or whoever was acting in that capacity.
And you talk things over, and that's the way you learn to deal with things back then, even as a kid. And that is a major thing that is missing now.
And can I interrupt for 1 second and just say, do you remember the movie Clueless, Marshall?
Yeah.
What year was it? It's relevant because that was the first indication, just in a comedy, that people took their phones to dinner instead of just their people.
But, you know, Jim, that's the thing we're missing now. There's not that family that you can rely on and where you sit down every night and have as crazy as families might be, you have some sane conversation with people that love you, and there's a comforting feeling about that.
Amen. Amen. You've said it beautifully over the course of whatever it's been. I've mentioned periodically about people should be talking to their kids, but you just said it. The setting should be one that is natural, comfortable, free, easy, and that's the dinner table. You can call a family meeting, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing like just, okay, we're all going to dinner. Okay, hey, you get the plates, I'll get this, you serve, you wash tonight, and then you get in and you start talking, and one of the kids raises something, a question, and you can go from there and develop it. And, you know, it's not just the subject matter. This is me speaking. It's the idea that all of a sudden a comfort level is established for the young person, child, and the rest of the table is brought into it. There's a comfort. It's not, you don't have to solve anything. It's just a matter of communicating. And that's the human, the humanity, and that vital connection, you know, that wonderful connection between human beings, which nothing can replicate machine-wise. It's magic, and lots of that. Everybody comes into a more relaxed state, and when the dinner is over, everybody goes about whatever they're doing, and they mingle a little and whatever, but they're more comfortable, more confident, and the key, they know they can come back to a safe space and just chat and just relax. And they don't have to go and distract themselves with television or anything else. Amazing. It's amazing. We have it within ourselves as human beings. We don't really have to go far from who we are to achieve the knowledge, the peace, the ability to live a more sane life.
But what we do have to do is recommit to encouraging that. And sadly, with the advent of all screen all the time, in a lot of instances, that has become less important. If you watch, and I know that you do, some of these sporting events, you will see what's advertised. It's a preponderance of buy more data, so you can watch this. You can watch life on this really small thing, and maybe get a car.
Okay, but you see, what we just described, in my opinion, of coming together as in a safe family group, doing that often enough and expanding upon it, builds up the strengths to deal with the saturation of information that our brain must be dealing with.
I completely agree.
Just back to that dinner table, what you've just voiced is such a great, great subject for people in a safe space to discuss and hear the young people who are very avid on the internet and the people who are substantially older who find it challenging or repetitive or whatever their opinion is, and just to talk about it. But the key is to let the young person express what is going on in their mind, and don't come away from the dinner table with, well, we're going to conclude, and Johnny's going to watch less TV, and we're going to do this or that. You come away from the dinner table with Johnny understanding that the people who might have been critical of him or demanding that he move into a different space 20% of the time, that they understand what he has said. I think that one of the problems with young people dealing with adults is that they don't feel that the other person, one, has either listened to them, or two, has tried to understand them, or three, has understood them, doesn't know what to do about it, or four, understands, changes their own way, and they become simpatico. The young mind is, no matter, you know, it takes a long time but before it's not as young as it was in the beginning, very, very, very intent on doing things. Very intent on this is the way it is. And unless you suddenly, unless you directly say, hey, you know, I understand, I don't understand, please tell me and let me learn. The idea is if parents had more time and spent more time with children saying, let me learn about what is going on. But, you know, Marshall, he really has raised such an incredibly strong yet simplistic approach to child rearing, to getting a family together, to growing together, and to moving on. And, you know, you don't have to pay any money to sit down at the table. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to have a big function. And it's right there. It's as we're speaking to ourselves here and to the audience. It's here. We don't have to go anywhere. It's just a matter of being honest in wanting to achieve something, which is for the benefit of all of us.
You know what a big problem is that smartphones are now in the hands of basically, I would say, from seventh graders and on up. I'm not talking about a few. I'm talking about a majority. I'm just talking about a majority, and kids on Facebook. It used to be the kids, you know, kids wouldn't follow a news site. You'd hear news. You'd talk about news. Your parents would talk, but you'd see it on TV. But because news now is part of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everything like that, kids are exposed to it at a much earlier age, and at a much more intense way.
And without then, context.
And then when they come home, where we used to be able to get that context, was I still scared about a nuclear war? Absolutely. But did I have the context that I had my family around me, and it was comforting? Absolutely. And so when I went to school and we did those tests, I knew I could go back home and I'd find my mother, my grandmother, my father would be there occasionally, but it's because he worked all the time.
But the point being that not everyone has conversation.
I would say 90% of the people don't have that family to come home to, either because of divorce, either because one parent's got to work, another parent's got to work. Sometimes both parents are working and you've got somebody else watching.
But there is someone to come home to. That's the point. And that's interacting with that someone is important.
Yeah, but it's just you need more than one to interact
with. I agree.
You need more than one.
But you got to start somewhere. The crux of this is saying, hey, some actual dialogue wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm not talking about exchange. Do you know you could line up 10 people right now, Jim, of a certain age, and they think that talking is texting. So that's, you know, that is one of the things. It just does not make you feel better. Even though you might be interacting with someone, it doesn't give you the same depth and perception as actually dealing with a person. We have a generation coming up that is far more comfortable dealing through these devices than actually looking someone in the eye. And you need to work on that.
Along those lines, you know, our young people just don't text one another. They do text, I guess, everybody. So the thing is, for someone who is saying, gee, I wonder if that's the only thing they can do to communicate, you know, a senior of some kind, an adult, a parent or whatever, what one should do, in my opinion, is say, okay, don't answer the immediate text, but get on the phone and call and say, hi, you know, I saw this text, that's great, but, you know, I really need to put some flesh on what you're saying, and the reason I do is because I really, you know, I really want to get a sense of how you're feeling about things, you know. You know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and you're complaining about all these things in your text, and, but, you know, I don't get a chance to hear your energy. I don't get a chance to immediately say when you go off a little bit, hey, how about this, how about that? By the time you send your text and I either respond to the text, so much has happened. So let's just talk about it. So as a parent or someone older than the person who's texting, that's something you might want to try out. Now, is it going to be frustrating? Of course it's going to be frustrating, because initially the texting person is saying, hey, I'm this, I'm that, and the other. But just the idea of do it several times and you'll find out, well, all of a sudden they're talking about something. The idea is select some subject, maybe not so dire as they might be texting, because a lot of that is going on. I mean, people are picking up on this, that, and the other thing, and resending it, which is probably the worst thing in the world to do, is resend something. You kind of give up on who you are, and you're taking somebody else's thoughts and imparting them to somebody else. That's a no-win situation. I'm not talking about some basic news that somebody might need to buy a car or a mortgage or something. I'm talking about world events where somebody is retweeting or emailing someone's opinion on what's going on in the world. We have to do the best we can, but, you know, we came into this world with such magic, with this wonderful mind, this incredible body. As time has gone on, more and more you see from educators and so forth how the body works, and more we're learning how the mind works. I mean, that's us. We were given that. My God in heaven, the greatest gift you could ever be given. And to truly appreciate it and to treasure it, we must utilize it in a way that works for us. And I don't know what anybody had in mind when they created us, but I sure know that expanding your mind into creative and positive ways seems much more in tune with the original creation, as does the best we can taking care of our bodies in a way that gives us the energy to move about with friends and family and so forth. And I think I ended the last show on your main asset is yourself. And what we've been talking about here is people getting away from themselves by not having that human connection. And it's, you know, you get into a situation, I'm speaking for myself, where something is offered you and you say, okay, well, I, this and that, the other thing. You know, the answers to solving the current challenges are not easy. And I'm not insinuating they're easy, because we are where we are. We're not where we were 30 years ago. But we have to remind ourselves of what we have and how good we are and how lucky we are to have these children and these relatives and to live, notwithstanding the headlines, this country, and get into a greater amount of gratitude and less of this beating up and being critical and judging and so forth. You know, negativity, unfortunately, really just, you get into a negative vein. You know, you're creating that environment in yourself. You might think you're spewing this and that on somebody else. That said, it is a wonderful, sunny day. Please embrace it. Just go out and take a deep breath and just take it in. And we mentioned earlier meditation. It doesn't take hours, folks. It takes, I don't know, 60 seconds, 10 minutes, whatever works for you. We mentioned yoga, getting the body and the mind in a very relaxed state. I mentioned Tai Chi, which is even more gentle than yoga. As I've said to folks who have bad knees or something, you know, just stretch easy. The whole idea in stretching or in exercising is to take care of the body. It's not to inflict greater pain. It's not to create that Superman body.
We're out of time, Jim.
Well, I'm glad we ended on that Superman.
That's absolutely right. You go a little more extreme, extras. All right. Thank you.
I thank you. Love you. Take care of yourself during the week and enjoy the day.
Bye-bye. All right, Jim, take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.